Drive Time Show on Toledo Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Drill to right field. That ball is hit well. It's to the wall, and it is gone. Jamer Candelario has his first Tigers home run. He showed some pop in the minor leagues, and that's his first big league homer with the Tigers. Jamer gets one back.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik Jr., at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Rowe does over the middle.
There you go!
Joe McQuinn, right side, to the house. Count it down with me, folks. 10-5, end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions. Oh, that is big. How about 2-7, patrolling center field like a safety should.
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Barrett gets the snap, hands it to Weber. Weber sweeping left side of the Rutgers 45 to the 40, 35, 30, down the sideline. Weber to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, and into the end zone goes Mike Weber with a 46-yard touchdown run to increase Ohio State's lead by 6 more.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot, sent Gretzky in. 3-0 Los Angeles. Wayne Gretzky gets the goal.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of cup, President's Cup to the United States.
Second Wednesday night, doubleheader, of course. We're at the Loft Restaurant, high above the TAS Electronics Rink number 1 here at Sylvania. Tam O'Shanner. 6 o'clock tonight, year number 18 for Face Off the Hockey Show. Glad to have you on board, everybody. 5:15 tonight, Nick Spitala will join us. Nick is going to be on the air at ESPN 106.5 The Ticket on Saturday mornings, one of 4 local shows that will be happening. We'll talk to Nick. As you know, filled in for me a couple of times in the past year. He'll do a great job. So we're going to let him tell you about what he's going to be doing on Saturday morning. So Nick Spitala coming up at 5:15 tonight. Matt Markey will join us at 5:35. He is the Toledo Blade Outdoor Editor. He joins us every Wednesday night at 5:35. 6:15 tonight, Matt Crandall will join us. He's our go-to guy on the high school hockey playoffs. Of course, a district final coming up here Friday night right here at Sylvania Tam O'Shanner, where St. John's will take on St. Francis. St. Francis, of course, beat Finley 5-0 to advance. And Northview beat St. John's by a score of 1-0. Greg Krupa, Detroit news writer, covers the Detroit Red Wings. We'll talk about the Red Wings and, you know, both their deals. The deals that sent Mrazek, of course, to the Philadelphia Flyers, and also Tatar going to Las Vegas. Ken Holland, the rebuild is on. Detroit 7 back of the Columbus Blue Jackets, by the way, for that final playoff berth in the Eastern Conference. Columbus in the final wild card spot. The other thing with Detroit, they'd have to catapult Florida, also the New York Islanders and Carolina. And Florida right now seems to be in the driver's seat. Again, they have 3 games in hand to all of those teams if anybody's going to get into that wild card situation. A couple of notes. Hats off to the University of Toledo Rockets. They win 97-67. Last night, congratulations, they beat Northern Illinois. First time since 2006 and 2007 that the Rockets have won the West Division of the MAC outright. Congratulations to Todd Kowalczyk. How about Trayshawn Fletcher last night? Triple-double, 20 points, 20 assists, or excuse me, 20 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists. Great job to Sean Fletcher. Rockets, by the way, close out the MAC regular season coming up this weekend. Walleye roll on. They win by a score of 4-3. That game was in Indianapolis. They beat the Fuel. Goaltender Pat Nagel gets his 9th win of the year. That is a new club record. A Big Ten basketball tournament coming up, of course, starting about 20 minutes from now. We'll try to get an update for you. Illinois taking on Iowa. The winner of that game will take on Michigan. Rutgers in Minnesota, 8 o'clock tonight. They will take on Indiana. So we'll try to give you an update, by the way, of course, on the Big Ten tournament getting underway. A lot of controversy, really, about this game being played, or this tournament, rather, being played at Madison Square Gardens indeed. All right, everybody, this is Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. Tigers, by the way, 9-6 win today over the Yankees. John Hicks, three-run homer there. Tigers used nine pitchers in that game. So, again, spring training, Tiger update, 9-6 winners today over the New York Yankees. While I mentioned their home Friday against South Carolina, again, this is Drive Time, driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. My name is Mike Miller. Glad to have you on board. Nick Switala coming up in just a couple of moments. Stick around.
Host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
At 5:30 tonight, Matt Crandall will join us at 6:15 to tell us about the district championship game coming up here at Tam O'Shanter on Friday. But then it's 6:35 tonight. Greg Krupa, longtime hockey writer, talk about the trade deadline and more specifically talk about the Red Wings moving forward. 11 picks in this year's draft. Pretty good club at Grand Rapids. Of course, Tatar and Mrazek both traded Philadelphia and Las Vegas respectively for draft pick. So that's what's on the agenda tonight as we come to you from the Loft Restaurant, high above the Tass Electronics, rink number one. But it wasn't too long ago with my hockey travels. Every now and then I needed a fill-in broadcaster and host of this show and got to know Nick Switala, and he filled in and did a wonderful job. And by the way, we'll be starting his own show right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket coming up on Saturday morning. Hello, Nick. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Great to talk to you.
Well, listen, number one, thanks for taking the time. I guess number two, what's the time slot?
Saturday Sports Buffet airs 11 to 12, Saturday mornings.
Do you have a name of the show?
Yep, Nick Switala's Saturday Sports Buffet, coming from you 106.5 every Saturday, 11 to 12. Launches this Saturday at 11, followed by the show on the 10th, and then we're blocking it on the 5th, or excuse me, on the 17th, I believe, Saturday the 17th. And then it's smooth sailing from there on out, so it should be fun.
No, good job. Congratulations. I know you'll do a great job. Tell me a little bit about it. I know talking to Andy Stewart over the years, he wanted more of a local flavor here on Saturday mornings. I know a lot of times, and Jim, who does most of the programming, you know, basically we had some ESPN programming as well, but great to have some local stuff on Saturday. Tell me your subject lines.
Yeah, it sure will be. You know, as you know, I pay close attention to, you know, what's happening in Detroit and Cleveland, and that kind of serves as a, you know, a local flavor for the Northwest Ohio audience and Southeast Michigan as well. But it's an opportunity for me to increase my own knowledge and dedication to following high school and college sports as well. Me being a Falcon, I was always on top of BG, but now we can dissect UT, BG, as well as high school hockey, high school hoops, you know, really getting down to the wire. Obviously, St. John, St. Francis will be touched upon Saturday morning following that game on Friday night. So it's really a good opportunity to touch them all. You know, probably could use more than 60 minutes, but that's where the creativity is going to have to come in. And with that being said, you know, lots to talk about, whether it's good or bad news with the Red Wings, Pistons, Tigers, with baseball coming, and then, you know, brighter side, there's the Indians and Cavaliers and big draft for the Browns this year, as always. So we're gonna touch them all, Mike, and it's a good opportunity to really you know, fill the appetite on the weekend and get going.
No, again, I'm sure you'll do a great job. Speaking of Bowling Green, Chris Bergeron, a guest of this show, and has been for probably 10 years now, or since his first year down at Bowling Green. We've always covered Falcons hockey. They get off to a playoff run, hopefully this weekend coming up.
Yeah, they do. Really, I think it's pivotal would be an understatement. Falcons are unfortunately not in the position to get an at-large bid this year from the last time I checked, due to their, got off to a little bit of a slow start out of conference play, but now they're, you know, although they didn't finish on top of the WCHA, they're certainly one of the favorites. If you recall, they made it to the championship game last year. They were that close. I believe it was against Michigan Tech down the wire in overtime that ended up costing the team a bid to the big dance, which is something we haven't seen in quite some time as Falcon, you know, whether you're alumnus or alumna or fan and just really a hockey fan in Northwest Ohio. I think really the hockey population is pulling for Bowling Green hockey, and I think they have a great opportunity. They filled a great void that was left with Chris Nell last year. They got a great goaltending play, great leadership, and as you know, Chris Bergeron is a true pro, and he's going to take that team where it needs to be one day. It's just a matter of whether it's going to be this year because the conference is difficult, but I think they have what it takes to make it to the big dance. And as you know, the requisite in order to do that is to win the conference tournament. And that's going to be no easy task, but I'm really looking forward to it. And hopefully things get off to a great start this weekend at home.
Nick Sotalo joins us here on Drive Time, ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Of course, always driven by the low payment King, Ralph Mihalik. You know, on a personal note with you, Nick, tell us a little bit how you got into this. I know you first started contacting me when you were down at Bowling Green. I hope we could have been a big help here at Drive Time. But tell me a little bit about it and, I guess, your curriculum down at Bowling Green. And how long have you had something like this in mind?
Well, being a graduate from St. John's Jesuit in 2012, I suppose I was in the big pool of players that really had no idea what they wanted to do in college, let alone in life. But when I got to Bowling Green, it was a great choice for me to be 30 minutes away from home, but still be 30 minutes away from home, where, you know, get the experience to live on my own and make some new friends and continue some great relationships that I had built throughout high school. Because as you know, Bowling Green and UT, popular destinations for Northwest Ohio high school grads, and was able to really kind of just sit down and think about it. And there I was one day strutting through campus, I think in 2013, where I was introduced to the Bowling Green Radio Sports Organization, which is in that realm probably the best organization in America. You know, nobody broadcasts more games via radio than Bowling Green State University. So that was the selling point to me. I hope that can be a selling point to others who are unfamiliar with this, you know, being kind of out of season as far as promoting that organization is concerned. Oftentimes it takes place around August when kids back, you know, when incoming sophomores get there. So that's where I kind of got the interest. And, you know, being a sports nut through my whole life, it's been a dream of mine to broadcast and really just, you know, tell the truth to the audience, whether it pertains to Detroit, Cleveland, local high school, college, and this Saturday program at 11 to 12 is going to be a great opportunity to do that. Luckily, I was blessed with a ton of resources throughout college, and, you know, being able to meet you throughout the years obviously was great access to getting some reps on Drive Time and continuing on from the great knowledge I obtained at Bowling Green.
Hey, tell me a little bit about your thoughts of the Big Ten basketball tournament, of course, getting underway here in about, oh, I don't know, 15 minutes to 10 minutes. Illinois taking on Iowa, of course, Rutgers, Minnesota a little bit later tonight. Michigan will play the winner of the Illinois-Iowa game. Of course, the teams that have byes, Michigan State, Nebraska, Ohio State, and Purdue. The Michigan State, the number one seed, Ohio State, number two, Purdue, number three, Nebraska,
right,
number four. Any thoughts as this thing gets ready to crank up?
Yeah, all over Big Ten basketball tournament. I suppose, you know, it might be a snoozer for tonight with those teams. I guess the only juice with tonight is Rutgers finally gets a big game in their backyard. I think that was a big selling point for them going to the Big Ten. I think they were promised that, you know, that the Madison Square Garden was going to bump up a week earlier than usual for the Big Ten basketball tournament. A lot of people wonder why. Well, it's simple. Money and audience and Madison Square Garden. That's the best way to put it. So I guess that's something to keep your eye on. But as far as Big Ten basketball contender, nothing happening tonight. It's going to be a 14 tournament with two wild cards. You just mentioned the seeds, Michigan State, Ohio State, Michigan, Purdue, probably the four teams that have the best chance to win it in accordance with the seed, the two wild cards being Nebraska, who is really trying to push their way into the big dance. I think it would make the conference look a little bit better than what it is if Nebraska was at 15 to get into the big dance. I don't see them getting in because of the RPI and lack of, I mean, I think their best win might be against Michigan, which is a good win, but you have to have a stockpile of wins when you're Nebraska in a conference that kind of had a down year. But luckily Michigan State was able to salvage that with all the, you know, with all the headlines surrounding that university for a variety of different reasons, as you know, with the FBI investigation, as well as the, you know, the, ESPN and outside the line stuff with the Nassar news. But Ohio State, year ahead of schedule, playing with house money. I think it would really be a disappointment if they didn't get to the what would be a matchup against Purdue. And I happen to think they have a really good chance to beat Purdue because Matt Painter, the head coach of Purdue, coached his way out of a win against Ohio State the first time. If you recall, Ohio State hoops had a great opportunity to beat Purdue outright, but since they got in foul trouble, all Matt Painter had to do was utilize his big bodies in the paint. He did not. So Ohio State somehow, some way, was able to get that signature win for Chris Holtman, who's been a nothing short of a grand slam hire, Mike. And Michigan, it's beeline. It really, what else is new with Michigan? I think their fans, observing what was, I suppose, considered to be a so-so regular season, but what matters most is the run in the Big Ten tournament, and that's something beeline has been able to do, most notably last year whether, you know, with the plane going off the runway and playing in practice jerseys, and next thing you know, they're holding up the trophy and making a run in the Big Dance as well.
Great,
so I think there's a ton of juice there.
Great optics and a great memory for Michigan fans, no doubt about it. Hey, before I let you go, Nick, congratulations, Todd Kowalczyk. And, you know, we had on Jason Kelso last night, the associate head coach, live from DeKalb before the game last night. And they got it done. They wrap up the MAC West outright, by the way. They haven't done that outright in almost 11 years anyway. So hats off to the Rockets.
You have to give hats off to the Rockets. Really good turnaround. And really, you know, I think BG is trying to make some strides down there, but Toledo's definitely has made the biggest stride of all teams in the MAC this year. I think Buffalo would be a good argument, but locally speaking, Toledo, great headline. I'm definitely pulling for Toledo to go the distance. And, you know, as you know, the winner of the MAC gets the ticket to the Big Dance, something UT fans haven't seen in quite some time. So it's going to be exciting. And I think based on, the Fisher kid that's a premier scorer for them, he's obviously displayed tremendous opportunity to take advantage, and I think it's going to be something to keep your eye on for sure.
Well, Trey, Sean Fletcher last night with the triple-double, 20 points, 11 assists, and 11 rebounds. Another gentleman that we had on this show not too long ago. So, yeah, great things, and we'll be viewing that. And we'll be listening on Saturday morning. Nick, again, congratulations. One more time, name and time of the show.
Saturday Sports Buffet, every Saturday, 11 to 12, excluding March 17th, and then we're off and running from there on out. So, yep, debuts this Saturday, 11 to 12. Can't wait.
Good stuff, Nick. Thanks for coming on, and congratulations.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mike. I appreciate it.
Well, that's Nick Switala. Join him on Saturday morning. Jim, tell me about, listen, as you know, I'm usually on the road in Canada doing hockey on most Saturdays throughout the winter. What is that Saturday morning local lineup?
Yeah, once we include next show starting this Saturday, we're gonna have we have four straight hours of local shows here on Saturday mornings. Mike Jamison and the Great Lakes Golf Today guys are 8 to 10. Then we have the new one, the Sports Shop with Steve Taylor from 10 to 11. And now Nick's show will be debuting from 11 to noon this week. So nice to have some morning stuff here on the weekends. Really cool.
It is, and. Anything going on tonight? Well, we got a couple of moments here. Speaking of programming, you just touched on Saturday. What's our coverage situation with the Big Ten tournament? I know we, of course, are tied with the Ohio State Buckeyes. They play their first game on Friday night, 6:30 tip against the winner of the Northwestern Penn State game. Tell me a little bit about that. What do you got scheduled for tournament basketball?
All right, trying to squeeze all these things in because, you know, we'll have some other things like some high school basketball playoffs on Friday. So here's kind of what we got. We'll have all the Michigan games as much as they're in the Big Ten tournament over on our sister station, 98.3 Nash Icon. So tomorrow at 2 for the 2:30 tip over there on 98.3, they'll have the Michigan second round game because they have to start tomorrow. You mentioned the Buckeyes with the 6:30 tip. That's over at Talk Radio 100.7 coming up on Friday because of the high school playoffs. Trying to figure out some of the other games. We're going to have another one of the Big Ten quarters. The first slot, 11:45, noon tip-off over on 100.7 on Friday. That's the Michigan State slot for the quarterfinal on Friday. Then on Sunday, whether it's Big Ten, Michigan, or somebody else, we'll have the semifinals on Saturday of the Big Ten tournament, and then the championship game coming up on Sunday afternoon, regardless of who's in it.
Good stuff, Jim. All right, everybody. That was Nick Switala. Hear him every Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Matt Markey coming up right after the TAS Electronics Update. This is Drive Time, driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik. My name is Mike Miller, coming to you from Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter, the Loft Restaurant. Remember, the 72-hour sales event continues at the Monroe Superstore.
Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time. Congratulations to Nick Switala, Bowling Green State University graduate. Got his own show starting on Saturday morning. Had him on. Nick filled in for me, along with Jim Kushel, of course, during my travels. So a lot of local stuff coming up on Saturday mornings. Wednesday, well, it's been a staple at 5:35, where we talk to Matt Markey. Of course, his appearance is always brought to you by Jan's Netcraft Fishing Tackle. Fishing's their passion. Expert advice. You know what? It's free. Visit Netcraft on Briarfield Boulevard in Maumee for everything you need to fish for, whether it's bass, walleye, anything else that swims. He is the editor of the Outdoor Toledo Blades Tuesday, Friday, Sunday articles. I look forward to all of them. Matt Markey joins us. Hello, Matt. How are you?
Mike, I'm doing fine. How are you this evening?
Not bad. You've been doing a little traveling, haven't you?
Well, I did. I took that trip right towards the end of 2017. They wanted me to go out and get really a comprehensive look at what people were saying, what the research might be saying, and also to talk to the folks on the ground. I always find them the most interesting. So I spoke to the Mi'kmaq people there on Lenox Island, and also some of the islanders on Prince Edward Island, and then the fishermen around the Bay of Fundy. Just genuinely, welcoming people. First of all, they didn't question why some guy from Ohio was, out there walking around asking them questions. But also, they're concerned. They have a certain way of life there they want to protect, and they're not sure exactly, what the imminent threats are, but they want to make sure that they're doing everything they can to find out and to do what they can to preserve it for the coming generations. So it was an interesting experience for certain.
Well, Prince Edward Island, of course, we talk about that a little bit on Drive Time, is the Low Payment King's son, Matt. Matt Mahalik, goaltender for the University of Prince Edward Island, and finishing up his senior year in his career as well after 4 years in the OHL. And a lot of hockey people I know from Prince Edward Island. Of course, Doug McLean, who really got the Columbus Blue Jackets organization started up and going in the right direction, and now is a television personality coast-to-coast in Canada. I think his whole staff was from Prince Edward Island, so I was down there for a year and talked a lot about that. Lenox Island, it looks like it's located a little bit north of Prince Edward Island, and you mentioned your trip out there was to talk to a lot of folks, scientists and folks on the ground, and basically what it is, their island is shrinking, for a lack of a better term.
That's exactly right, and there's, when you get into discussions about these major changes on the planet, whether it's, somebody calls it global warming or somebody calls it climate change or rising seas or whatever, there's an awful lot of fertile ground for debate. Not everybody has the same religion on this, I think. Some of it troubles me a little bit because I've never experienced anything in my long life that concerns science where you were told this is what you have to believe, and if you don't, you're a denier or an idiot or something. I've never experienced that because science has always been kind of an open field where there's discussion, there are theories, you try to prove or disprove theories, but it's constantly changing and all. And that's my lesson from Sister Mary Lillian in sophomore biology at St. Wendland High School. It's kind of stayed with me. So I found myself very interested in the way that these issues are presented different places, but also concerned that, we kind of stifle debate or discussion by saying it has to be one way or and that's the only thing we'll accept. And in the climate change / global warming debate, that's certainly been the case. But I think that there's something else to consider with Prince Edward Island, and the folks at the University of Prince Edward Island were very, very helpful on this, and their research was very helpful. But they pointed out that many thousands of years ago, there was no Prince Edward Island. It was part of the mainland. So at some point, something changed, and that separation occurred. And they think it could have been, certainly upheaval forces, deep inside the earth. But a main factor is that a lot of Prince Edward Island, Mike, is a soft red sandstone. And so it's very prone to erosion, very susceptible to the forces of nature, whereas other places, the rocks along the shoreline are much harder and, they don't erode as well. So there's so many things going on at once that nobody has the absolute definitive answer. And if they tell you they do, then they're not telling the truth. And that's one thing I learned. You come out of this with, several months of research and interviewing probably, 40 or 50 people. The questions outnumber the answers.
No, no question about it. I mean, and again, I could not agree more with, folks that say this is what it is and this is how it's going to be. And listen, we have had climate change regardless of the reason for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. I mean, what it was caused by or what it's caused by is still up for debate, whether it's global warming caused by man-made emissions, And listen, we all want the planet to be clean, but I'm with you, you know, a select group telling us this is why this is happening and leaving the science sometimes totally out of it. I mean, there's scientists on the other side of this that will give you data to tell you the exact opposite. So I think you put it right. What religion are you believing here? Just give me the true science from both sides and let me just break that down in my own mind and we will go from there. Hey, speaking of which, I thought it was very interesting too in the changing forest. Again, this is a whole other situation where that is a reality. The climate is changing. Again, tell me about that trip and what you learned and what you saw and what the people read.
Well, I went through into the forests of New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, and New Brunswick. And what I found is it's a very diverse forest. You've got a lot of historic hardwoods that are there. Then you get a little bit higher in the elevation. You get into the conifers and all. And then there are certain areas, certainly in the highest areas of Maine, where you're basically above the tree line. But what they contend is taking place is a very, very slow incremental change where the trees that do better in warmer, wetter weather are seeming to expand their range, and the ones that need colder climate are seeming to limit their range or moving, you know, more, they're more prolific to the north. And the trouble there is that as you and I drive down, you know, the highway, even the people that live there, they don't see these changes if indeed they're taking place. These are things that are going to take place over decades, and we don't really know, you know, what the ramifications are. Certainly the wildlife will be impacted in some way, but they're pretty resilient and pretty, you know, can adapt pretty easily. So it's another change that certain people are documenting and raising some sort of alarm over, but as far as what do we really know about it and what do we really know about what might happen, that's a very limited volume. And one thing, Mike, that I found extremely interesting in the aftermath of this series is I've heard from maybe 12 to 15 other professors, researchers, and so on who dispute some of the things that the people I talked to said or some of their research. So it just continues to, you know, muddy the waters, I guess, a little bit that, you know, my research is better than your research and so on. And I just wish that some of these scientists, they're extremely smart people. They got a whole string of degrees. I understand all that. But at some point, we have to say that this planet is an amazing place, and we don't really understand it all that well. That's kind of what we need to be able to say. We want to understand it. We want to learn as much as we can about it. But sometimes we need to step back and just be in awe of where we are and the world around us. And that's the feeling I got along the Bay of Fundy. You can sit in a chair on a dock there, and in 6 hours you can see the tide raise or lower 50 feet. And we don't know for sure how that all works and everything. We think we do. We've got explanations and all, but nature itself and how it changes and how it moves and evolves and all, it's something that I think we'd be better served if we could just step back and say, this is absolutely incredible, but I don't really understand it. I think that's the answer.
No, I think we need more of that. And without getting too deep into this, I had somebody in the community of science tell me once, follow the money. A lot of times you can follow these studies and who's funding it of exactly the type of data you're going to see at the end of the study. So that is a whole nother story, believe me. Hey, you talked about this last week as well, fishstories.org. What a tremendous idea by Mr. Steiner there. And already got 120 fish stories on the website, and he wants to get 5,000 in there. And you touched on it talking about, you know, stories with your dad when you were fishing and how he could tell a tale and you know, tell an interesting story. Nothing better than guys that can tell stories and keep you captivated with some humor and you know, just maybe embellish a little bit. I certainly have heard my share on buses over the years talking about hockey and particular players. And so it's great. It's, you know, being told the ranks of fishermen as well and the relationships. And listen, my dad was a much more fish much more than I did, and he's been gone a long time. But, you know, you said something, or one of the folks in your story that stood out to me, He got into it, I think, when I was younger a little bit more because I had an interest in it, and it basically we were just able to spend more time together, and those are great memories. You know, when they're happening, you don't think 30 years later you're going to be thinking about it, but you certainly do.
You absolutely do, and I find myself doing that frequently, and it I think it all goes back to one thing that you and I have discussed, you know, a number of times, Mike, in our various weekly sessions, is that if you're playing golf, you know, you love the game, you enjoy being outside, and so on, but it's the people you're playing with that really make the moment, make the experience, and make the memories. Same thing in fishing. Doesn't matter. You know, you don't remember what you caught, how many, how big, what time, what were you using for bait, you know, that all that stuff, you know, it might be a little cloudy. You remember distinctly the people you were with, the personalities, the stories, the experiences you had with them. And I think the thing about this fishstories.org is that at least it's going to be a bank where those things can be stored. And maybe a generation later, you can say to some, you know, young boy, well, your grandfather was very skilled at telling a fish story. And then you go to that site. Here's your grandfather's voice, and here's the story. I think it's just a wonderful thing. I think there's so many more mechanisms available now to preserve, you know, bits and pieces of the individuals that mean so much in our lives. And whether it's, you know, video or these audio recordings or anything of that nature, it lets us hang on to a little piece of something that was so important. And as, you know, as we mentioned many times, it's, it doesn't really matter what you're doing, whether it's, you know, fishing or hunting or golf or hiking or whatever, boating. It's the people that you're with. And this, you know, preserving these fish stories, I think, really lets you retain just, you know, one of those things that you hold so close to your heart.
No, no question about it. Tremendous idea. Love the story as well. Hey, right below that story, and I kind of put the marker on this, is Matt Markey, Tweedleblade Outdoor Editor, joins us here like he does every Wednesday. His appearance is always brought to you by Jan's Netcraft. But you had a notation there about Ohio fishing licenses and hunting licenses as well, available for sale on March the 1st. And also a note from Netcraft on your rig and jig day. Tell us about those.
Well, they do that once a year. They have a rig and jig day for walleye fishermen, and then we'll have a Bassmaster fishing day. The rig and jig day was last Saturday. They had one of their walleye fishing pros in to answer questions. There were reps from a couple companies there. It's really, I think, an opportunity for everybody who's got cabin fever from the winter and they're just going out of their mind waiting for spring to get here and the opportunity to go fishing again. It's a chance to go in and just talk to other people about those things, find out what's new, find out what innovations there are, and then also stock up on the things you're going to need, because when the walleye start running in the river, you know, in numbers in a couple weeks, or when people start putting their boats, you know, out on the lake in numbers in a few weeks, you know, you want to be prepared. And I think that the whole purpose of that, you know, Netcraft's mind is it's, you know, it's still winter when we hold this. Let's get everybody in here and let them get stocked up, let them, you know, ask their questions, find out what's going on. And then the Bassmaster Day will be in another week or so on a Saturday again, and it'll be the same thing. I'll run an announcement on it ahead of time. Just, you know, for the bass fishermen, the same thing. What's new? You know, what particular locations around the area are we looking at? What should we be doing now so that we're ready, you know, once the season really gets here?
Good stuff. March the 1st again, everybody. Hunting and fishing licenses available. Anything I missed, Matt? Number one. And number two, what are you working on?
Well, I'm working on a number of things. I have a piece on Friday on our Ohioan in the Iditarod, Matt Fahler. We've talked about him in the past. He's still going at it. I think this will be his seventh Iditarod. He's had his own kennel going for a number of years now. His dogs are in training and they're improving. He said they're comparable to sophomores in high school playing on the varsity. And he's looking forward to a stronger run this year, and then maybe next year or the following year is when his team will really contend for the race. So that'll be Friday. And then Sunday, I've got a good local piece on Cleveland's Outdoor World out on Airport Highway. It's been a mecca for archery folks and hunters. And they've had a great, you know, history, 50 years in this market. a mom and pop operation. The owner passed away. His wife's ready to kind of move along, so they found some another couple people, local folks who have a history in the firearms business that want to. They're going to buying it. And they're going to keep it there. Cleveland's, the name's going to stay. The building's going to stay. Everything's going to be the same. It's just different folks that have the key to the door now. So that story will be on Sunday.
Well, we've done a couple shows from Cleveland's. Know the family well, and they went through some adversity, of course. You mentioned the building, the fire they had out there over the years.
Sure.
Talk about knowledgeable folks. Wow. Good family folks and a part of the business community, as you mentioned, for a long, long time. Matt, great hearing your voice. Thanks for coming on. I know some of these days are hectic for you. You're out and about doing things, and I appreciate you taking the time, as always, sir.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
That is Matt Markey. He is the outdoor editor for the Toledo Blade. We talk to him every Wednesday at 5:35. All right, back to close it out after this. Another edition of Drive Time driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik, almost in the books. Face Off, the hockey show coming up in a little bit. By the way, Face Off, I got a couple of tickets to the Bowling Green Falcons Ferris State playoff tournament game coming up on the weekend, I believe Saturday night. We'll talk about that on Face Off. Back to close out Drive Time after these words.